This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet. Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
This is Behind the Rose, where Bachelor Nation meets country music and everything in between. Here's your host, Blake Horseman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Behind the Rose podcast. I'm your host, Blake Horseman, here with my buddy, as usual, Eric Bradley. And it is Tuesday night, right after episode 9 of Bachelor in Paradise. And I don't know, it was kind of a boring episode. Not a ton happened. But lucky for you guys, I feel like a lot did happen this week. So let's get into it, Eric. Should we just start with the Bachelor right now? Let's start with, we basically got a very soft announcement of who the new bachelor is going to be.
Yeah, Clayton Eckhard from Eureka, Eckhard. Missouri.
Yeah, small town in Missouri. Dude, I tell you what, from what I've read and what, you know, people are talking about, they're going back to the cookie cutter, Midwestern, white boy, religious football player. Like, they went way back to the original recipe, it seems like. Obviously, we have no idea who this guy is. So, like, we can't sit here and get into a deep dive of who this man is. But it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I may have to do a little digging because he has. I know some of his teammates from college, and I think he had a little short stint with the Seahawks. So I'm about to find out a little bit about this guy.
Yeah, get some tea for us, man. We have the podcast for the first little bit of tea on Clayton. But listen, the fact that we don't even know who he is, nobody does. Nobody knows who this guy is because he's on Michelle's season.
Yeah, you saw a little clips of him tonight in the preview.
Yeah, and they picked him means the producers love him. Like, that means the producers think he is a home run, can't miss. We keep hearing this rumor about a big storyline. Like, there's some big storyline with Clayton. So I guess we'll see. He already had a whole parade and everything. Like, he left for filming. Like, mm-hmm. He's filming already.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, crazy. So, yeah, we have our new Bachelor guys. Clayton Eckhart. Is that how you say it? Eckhart.
Yeah, E-C-H-A-R-D. I guess an Eckhart or,
yeah. Yeah. So, we'll keep our eye on that, guys.
I'm excited about that. I think they do need to kind of go back to their grassroots a bit.
Yeah, but they went all the way back. Like, they didn't sort of go back. They went to Colton. Like, this is Colton. You know what I mean? Like, he is
so are we gonna
Middle
see
America.
This, are you gonna prediction now is going to be the same?
No, obviously, I don't know. Like, obviously, I'm guessing. Well, I don't know. I'm not going to guess anybody's sexuality at this point. But, yeah, I mean, I just feel like they went back to, like, freaking day one recipe, baby. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like they're desperate. They're super desperate right now. I mean, that's not a secret. So I sure hope this works out for him because it's going to be really weird to get to know. So, first of all, first thing we know, he's going to get a perfect edit. He's going to get a perfect edit on The Bachelorette. Like, we'll never see him more it'll be a better edit than Tyler Cameron got. Like, this edit will be remarkable.
So he's definitely what? How do you say it? F3?
Yeah, I think he's
definitely
doing
F3.
Good question, though. I don't know. Maybe he's not, and that's why they picked him. Maybe because they don't want to spoil Michelle's season. So I don't know. That's a great question. I don't know if he's F4 even. I don't know. I'm guessing he's F4, so we meet his family at least, I would think. I don't know. It's going to be weird watching a season knowing that guy's the Bachelor. Like everything he does is going to get picked apart. I would hate to be in his shoes, to be honest. I feel like he's in a lose-lose. Like, I don't know, man.
The guy looks massive, too, by the way.
Huge. Yeah, he looks 6'6", fucking jacked, but I don't know. We'll see. I saw a lot of, like, hot and cold reactions to it, but it's early, so who knows? You know, you never know. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then this weekend in Chicago.
Chicago came out again.
Yes.
Wow.
I fucking love you, Chicago.
Let's talk
crowd,
about,
God,
yeah.
Dude.
Let's talk about who didn't come out.
Who wasn't able to?
This is very funny to me. So apparently Bachelor contestants cannot have any friends. And thank you, NZKABC.
Yeah, they wouldn't. Like, we had, what, four or five people. We had Tammy couldn't come. Kenny couldn't come. Natasha couldn't come.
And what cracks me up most about this is Kenny works there.
It's literally Kenny's job, and ABC told him he couldn't.
Kenny is the talent buyer for this club. He's the one who booked us.
Yeah, it's hilarious. And, like, listen, I get it. Like, they messed up at the beginning. They used the logo. They used the Bachelor in Paradise logo. That's not allowed.
Tammy,
that got him on the radar. And
they probably shouldn't have put Tammy on the original flyer.
On the original flyer. I get 100%. That. But still, it's like, we just saw 35 people at New York Fashion Week. Nobody had a problem with that. But
you see them tonight. If you watch the Instagram stories tonight, they're all watching the show together.
They're all hanging out together tonight.
Eating tacos.
I just don't. I'll never understand. You know, the show, and this isn't new. This has been like this for a long time. They play favorites. They always have. They always will. There'll be certain people they'll let do. I'll never forget Tyler Cameron went on that show on Freeform or whatever it was. A week later, I got asked the exact same thing. They told me no.
They really just play their favorites.
They play favorites, man. They just hate. It's not necessarily they just love who they love. Like, they just play favorites. And that's, I think, one thing that pisses the people off the most with them. Like, you can't get a straight answer for them, and they'll do – they do nothing – no rhyme or reason to what they do a lot of times. So that was frustrating because I would have loved to see Kenny. I would have loved to see all these people.
Yeah.
So it was a bummer. But yeah, still, Kenny, we still had a great turnout. Ed couldn't come.
And you know what? Big props to Chris and Elena.
Yeah, they showed out.
They showed up.
They were apparently, like, fuck it.
I mean, they're chugging right along, straight off the show. Like,
Chris and Elena are great together. I mean, Andrew came out, Clay came out, Victoria came out, Fuller.
Fuller stole the show, too.
Fuller came out on stage, was pouring shots. The introvert in her, she was out there fucking having a blast. It was a fun weekend, man, and it was a fun gig. Mm-hmm. Bourbon Street, guys, 115 Bourbon Street, that place is amazing. They treat us amazing, and I mean, we packed that house, baby. We packed that house. Yeah.
Next month, October 23rd, if you're in the Chicago, the Midwest corridor, Milwaukee, come on down. It is that place is unbelievable.
It goes off. It goes hard. I talked to Kenny a little bit today, and he's like, dude, the bar did great. Like, the bar tabs and stuff are amazing. Like, thanks. So, I mean, come out. I'll be there, I think, pretty much every month the rest of the year. So, come out. We'll keep you guys updated on the dates. But
October
23rd next month. I'll tell you what, like, there was points when the crowd was singing so loud that I just fucking turned down the music and let them sing. Like, the crowd out there is just unreal. So much fun. So, looking forward to next month already. And then we played at Paradise Park on Sunday, a little brunch at Paradise
Park. Kelly came out, DJ'd a little bit.
Yeah, Kelly Flanagan came out, hung with us. She was trying to teach her how to spin a little. It was good to see her. I haven't seen her in a while. But that was a good little brunch. I mean, for a home Chicago Bears game, like, that was a lot of fun. I think we're probably going to try and do that every month, too. So, So yeah, come out to that too. So love you, Chicago. Appreciate you. And then this weekend, guys, we're here in Denver. Back to Denver this weekend, playing Mile High Spirits Saturday the 25th. Is that right?
I have no idea what
pretty
dates.
Sure, yeah, pretty sure it's the 25th.
Anymore.
25th. So Denver, back in Denver this week, guys. So come out to Mile High Spirits, playing a set here in Denver Saturday. So we'll see you guys Saturday.
Saturday, late one. Still show up early because it's crazy.
It's crazy there. In there, especially... first Saturday in a while because they played a Friday not last month. So
we'll be right back.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well, then you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Shall we get into it? Let's get into the episode.
Yeah.
All right. It starts out basically where we ended last season or last episode, which is Kendall, Serena, Joe. Kendall's sitting there watching Serena and Joe make out. They just profess their love to each other. Kendall is not liking it. Kendall is having a hard time, to say the least.
It is so hard to watch her hurt.
I know. Kendall's such a good one. And I see her getting hate and I fucking hate it. It pisses me off because I talked about this a little bit tonight. Like, you guys, this environment, and I've talked about it before, this environment is incredibly difficult. Everything is more intense and just exponentially harder than in the real world. So she probably went down there thinking, you know, if Joe's with somebody, it's going to be hard, but that's all right. I'm over it. I'm past it. Well, then she gets down there. She's watching him, and it's just harder than she anticipated. It's harder than you can even imagine. And she kind of loses it. She loses, you know, she loses her cool a little bit. She starts to cry, and she wants to go talk to Joe. I thought Joe handled this conversation pretty well. Kendall was just kind of like, you know, I'm still in love with you.
He handled it as good as you can as a man who's moved on.
Yeah, that's very true. He has clearly moved on. But he still showed her sympathy and empathy.
Yeah, he was still there.
At the same time, was like
as a friend. I mean, yeah. I mean, they had a year and a half relationship, not engagement. Two. I like how they try to zoom in on a ring that wasn't an engagement ring.
Yeah. And, 2 years. Yeah, I mean, I think they were together damn near.
Yeah. When you love someone, I mean, yeah, that's your best friend, and they're both great people. They definitely don't have animosity toward each other.
No.
I think they're good together still, and they have a friendship.
Yeah. The whole situation was hard, but handled well, maturely. Mm-hmm. And I respect to Kendall for being like, you know what? I'm out. Like, I can't do this. This is too hard for me. If she stuck around again after that, then I'd be like, what the hell are you doing, Kendall?
Yeah, that was the best thing.
Not over Joe.
Do.
You can't be down there to find another, you know, relationship. And
it was kind of hard because Joe asked the question. He's like, why did you come here? And it was, she really deflected around it and then turned around and asked him that question.
And he had a phenomenal answer.
And yeah, he was like, honestly, I was thought things were, he had
like
moved on.
Done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You he openly
done.
Says he and knew think, it was yeah. over between them.
I think that was a bit of a, you know, punch to the guts to Kendall, but she needed to hear it. I think she needed to hear it. And she was like, okay. And it was good. Joe handled it well. It was a hard situation. That environment's very difficult, but they both did it very well. I love them both. So hats off to both of them. Respect to Kendall for being like, this isn't, you know, going to work for me. I'm out. So it was very short lived. I mean, honestly, she was only down there like 3 days, which is pretty crazy to think, like real life days, 3 to 4 real life days down there. It's a pretty quick trip to paradise for Kendall.
And I think Joe even made it a point to say, like, he wishes that Kendall would have had that conversation with him prior to going down.
Which is true.
It's totally true. Because that would have probably put her at ease going down there too a little bit. Or maybe she, at that point, maybe she wouldn't have gone down and put herself in that position.
Yeah, maybe not.
To be hurt.
Maybe not. Yeah, so we'll see. But I mean, rooting for both of those two. I hope Kendall finds her man. She deserves a good one. And maybe Joe did. Maybe Joe did find his girl. We'll see. What's next? What do we do next? I feel like there's a lot of little conversations tonight.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, little John is great.
Little John just in his fucking app. I mean, dude loves it down there. You can tell he's enjoying himself.
Yeah.
He's just in his element. Loves the host.
His dramatic talking lines, like before the show, like, I don't know if those are really good with him, but like when he's on the show and in his element, amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So little John enters and then brings Ed and DJ in.
Right, Ed and DJ. So never met DJ. Talked to him a couple times. We've met Ed. We've chatted with Ed. We hung out with Ed in Nashville.
Ed was another person who apparently couldn't come to Chicago this weekend.
Dude drinks like 10 Red Bulls a day.
Red Bull Ed.
Red Bull Ed. Good dude. I think DJ is too from what I've heard. So two guys walk down. They are good-looking men. They're jacked. They're cut. The women were excited.
Aaron's one-liner was pretty great.
Yeah, that was the cannibal, cannibal thing. Yeah. That was funny. Honestly, though, there's not many single women, really. Like, and when I say single, like, they're sort of in a relationship, but still willing to give others a shot. I mean, at this point, Chelsea, Natasha, I would never have said Marissa, but Marissa was kind of feeling DeMar a little bit.
Well, that was apparently her number one
going
into the show. And you could see. Riley did take that a little chill, but that's how hard is that position to be in? Like, because they see DJ or DeMar and Riley seem to have a really good relationship, and they seem to be boys.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, no, I think low key Riley was freaking out, 100%. Low key, I think Riley was fucking shitting himself because I think he knows DeMar's a cool dude, and like he knows Marissa and him would probably hit it off. I think he was shaking his boots a little bit. And you could tell, I think Marissa would have said yes to that date. I think she would have said yes to that date, dude.
Yeah. I think she would have in that moment, because after DeMar picked Chelsea, she kind of went to the, I'm missing something from Riley. Like we need to have a talk. He hasn't opened up. He hasn't expressed that he's fallen for me or, you know, any of that kind of emotion.
Yeah, I agree. I think she kind of, it hit her like, wait a minute, maybe there is something missing between me and Riley, because I was going to say yes to DeMar.
It opened up. Yeah, because it would have been roles reversed, because if she would have went on that date, that would have opened up Riley's eyes. Now that she didn't get chosen for that date, it was like, I need to have a conversation with this man now and find out what it is.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, DeMar ends up taking, who did DeMar take?
Chelsea. He took Chelsea, and Ed took Natasha. And how about that? Dude, who saw that coming?
I would never have thought Ed and Natasha would hit it off like they did. Natasha's talking about like he's the hottest man alive and this is the best night of her life. What the fuck? Where did this come from? Like, what? That was so random to me. They seem like very different people personality wise, but so they clicked. They clicked. She had a blast on that date. Blast. Yeah. And that date was a fun date. They kind of like painted each other. That was a pretty fun little day date.
It wasn't too sexual.
It was exactly. Almost it was the like right amount of sexual. Yeah. The right amount teasing. Of sexual. Yeah. DeMar and Chelsea, though, like, I didn't really see them hit it off too much. Like, it seemed like they had a good time and everything, but I didn't see sparks fly like I did with Natasha and Ed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens there. But, I mean, all in all, fun date. Yeah, they left hand in hand. Both of them did. So, we'll see how that goes. Then what else we had? I mean, we had a couple of conversations. Well, we had the Kenny and Mari date. Kenny and Mari. Kenny gets a date card. Takes Mari on this date. And this season is so sexual. Like, every part of this season is sexual.
And it's like, has Kenny ever worn clothes on a date?
No, Kenny has been naked more than he's had clothes on this season. It's been insane.
Even on his season with Claire and Tayshia, like, he was like in that dodgeball, like, new date, right?
Yep. Yeah, he was. He was on the new date. I don't know what it is, but this show, the producers just love sexualizing Kenny. Like, they just love fucking with Kenny. Like, Kenny, take your clothes off. You're on camera again. Like, it's just been a weird season for him. You're right. Just like, experience in Bachelor Nation in general for him.
And by the way, like, I feel like, in my opinion, this date was horrible and very disgusting.
Agreed. This would not have turned me on very much. Listen, I don't mind bringing some food into bed here and now, like maybe a chocolate strawberry, like, you know, grapes, but fucking sour tacos? Fucking tacos? Yeah, runny ass sour cream all down your legs? What the fuck? It's gross. Yeah,
I mean, sushi. That's sexy.
Yeah, sushi's sexy.
Like, too. That's like an art, right? But fucking just like greasy ass carnitas beef, like some shredded chicken. What?
And these two were naked.
Yeah.
They weren't like, they didn't have like underwear on. They were naked. Mari was topless.
I mean, she seemed pretty comfortable. Like,
very comfortable. Mm-hmm. She just had tortillas God on her. And he picked one up at one point, fed it to her, and then took a bite himself. How about the girl watching? How awkward is that? She's just like, great, great taco. Good dressing. Like, it was so fucking weird, man.
You like?
Yeah. God, it's so weird, man. They're running out of ideas down there in paradise. But later on that night.
And plus, like, in between that, we got a little, and I wish we'd see more of them. We got a little glimpse of like Noah and Abigail on a hammock eating French fries. Like,
dude, we've had zero.
Where are they?
I was just DMing with more Abigail. Of them. I'm literally like, where the fuck are you this season? She's like, I don't know. Like, they've cut them out completely. They must have either an insane ending to the season, or they must just be fucking boring to watch fall in love. Like, maybe they're just so like, hey, we're here, we like each other, that's it. I mean, the only person right now getting a lot of screen time is Joe. That Joe, I would love to see the end. I want to see Bachelor Data out there. I want to see how much screen time Joe has had compared to other contestants, because I think it's insane.
It's pretty much Joe and Kenny.
But even Kenny doesn't even get close to Joe. Joe's had every episode. Because you had Demi thrown in there a little bit before she left. But Joe's been every fucking episode, man. It's crazy. But yeah, we've seen zero of Noah and Abigail. And it shows, like, you know, social media wise, they're not where everybody else is. In fact, nobody is. Joe's the only one growing.
Let's not talk about followers, Blake.
No, that's what they're down there for. That's why they want to get screen time. We could talk about it.
That's a sensitive subject.
It means a lot about like screen time and everything. It shows a lot. But anyway, wait, back to Barry and Kenny. So later that night, they have the conversation and they're falling in love. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it was Mari told Kenny.
Well, no, Mari Kenny. Like, Kenny said it.
Kenny
first.
Do it. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So Kenny said, "You know, I'm falling in love." Mari. Mari's like, "I am too." And they like.
It's so funny how guys do it. Like,
I know it's well. It's just an awkward thing to say too. Like, I'm falling in love. It's I've done it. It's super awkward.
It's funny because I feel like that's like, is that written by ABC? Like, this is how you have to present this.
No,
because it seems like everybody's like, "I'm falling in love." Can't you just say, "Man, I love you"?
yeah, you don't want to be honest, man. Like in that environment, you don't fucking want to say that before falling in love. I'll just be honest. It's like, cause you see that feels fast. Falling in love feels fast, let alone saying I love you. Trust me, like that's why people do that. It seems so crazy to say I'm in love with you. It's great. I know it's just like 2-word difference, but it makes all the difference in the world. It really does.
We'll be right back.
Yes, we have 2 L-bombs dropped now. Joe, Serena, mm-hmm. Kenny, and Mari so far. And Kenny and Mari are fucking all in, dude. Kenny's at the end of this, like, it's us. Mari's like, all right, that's my man. You know, they went to the fantasy suite after the date. They're all in.
If I was a betting man, I'd put everything on them.
Yeah.
Getting proposed or at least leaving together and they're whatever.
They are fucking into each other.
Which that leads us into the third couple now. After the after their conversation, Riley and Marissa sit down and have a conversation.
Marissa sit down because Marissa's freaking out a little bit. She's like, I need more. That was a great conversation. Riley kind of got very vulnerable about his family, his past, his parents' divorce, kind of what that meant to him and his love life and how he looks at love and relationships in general and marriage. And I love it. I fucking love when a man can be vulnerable on national television.
So do I. And that gets me every time because I can relate to that. Because that I have a very bad background with my family, my dad, being non-existent. And that does really go into relationships with women. Like it's such a hurdle and a wall that you cannot get over. It's really hard to defeat that.
I'm sure it is. I can't really relate. So you can. And yeah, you could tell it hit him hard. I mean, those were real tears. Like, those were like fuck, I don't want to cry, but here they come tears. Like, those are like,
especially when you know you're into somebody and you have that conversation, you let your guard down in that moment. That is like the hardest thing to break through. Mm-hmm. Like, I've done it with just a couple. Yeah, and it's every, like, even if I talk about it, like, I'll get choked up.
Right.
Like, that shit is damaging and is real.
Yeah. No, so shout out to Riley for being brave enough to talk about it on national television and to Marissa. And Marissa did a really good job of like consoling him and kind
that's
of
exactly what she was looking for.
Mm-hmm, help. Yeah, exactly. And he gave what she was looking for. And that's when she was like, this is my man.
Little
like,
Johnny.
Is it. You know, they are end claim game. It. Yeah, claim man, they man. Are end game. So that was great. It was an awesome moment. I love real genuine moments like that. That's one of my favorite parts about this show. So shout out to Riley for doing that. And we love a man, you know, showing that other men can be vulnerable. And a man like Riley, fucking tough, jacked, muscly dude, you know, who can be vulnerable and act like that. So we love to see that. What else we got? What else we got here?
Oh, and then probably some people that you recognize and love so much, some producers walk in.
Oh, yeah, fuck.
I don't know if you recognize any of them. I don't know.
Especially those producers.
I don't know who they were.
I recognize them very well. not the biggest fans.
Some of your BFFs.
This was weird, man. This was fucking weird. So, a tropical storm is approaching. Don't panic, but we need you to pack your stuff and get off the beach. So I'm thinking, this is pretty serious. This is pretty serious. They're actually worried about, like, if they're making them pack their stuff up, it could be a while. Like, if they're just like, hey, we're leaving for the night. Let's go back to our hotel. Grab your toiletries. But no, they're like, pack everything up. We're out. I'm thinking, it could be a few days. Maybe it was a few days. I don't know. But it made it seem like it was one night, dude, like 12 hours, and they were back on the beach. So yeah, it was like
That was the most dramatic part of the season was, Kenny and Mark, am I ever going to see her again? Where do we go?
Yeah, Tia being like, I came here looking for a rose. Now I just hope I leave alive. What? Yeah. Come on now, relax.
Tia was like in the middle of, who do I give my rose to tonight?
like it was the most dramatic storm ever. We'll say that. It's the most dramatic storm ever. And maybe it was, we just didn't see it. Like maybe it was pretty intense.
I mean, but if their cameras were set up, it looked pretty bad.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like maybe it did, but like the way they just came back from commercial break, like skipping back down the beach. I was like, the fuck was that? That was so random, man. But I guess it was a little break, and I think we're going to have, not jump ahead too far here, I think we're going to have some drama next episode with that whole thing, because it looks like Ivan and Chelsea maybe talked in the hotel room, which of course, but they all fucking did. They all did. I said that in my story recap tonight. I was like, listen, if you don't think there was a couple fantasy suites back at that hotel, you're ignorant, because there definitely was.
Yeah, because it was funny. It was like the girls went off in one van. They didn't split them up.
No. They were definitely all together.
They were in a hotel bar, lobby bar.
Yeah, they were chilling in the bar, 100%.
So
that's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. That storm could have a little, it could definitely be a plot line, I think.
Yeah, so 12 hours later, they return to the beach.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, it picks up right with drama. It's our girl Tia, man. She goes in on Blake.
Tia's fucking hilarious. Can we talk about her talking to her vagina? She's trying to decide between James and Blake. So funny. God, she's so funny. But I get what she's saying. She's like, I have this physical attraction, this sexual chemistry with Blake. But James, I have like more of a, he seems like a better relationship guy. Like, you know, he cares for me. He's going out of his way to be with me and to talk to me. And the conversation
he's actually putting
in
effort.
Yeah, he's putting in effort. That's a good idea. He's putting in effort where Blake isn't. So she's torn. And I don't think she, when she sat down to talk to Blake, I don't think she saw that conversation going the way it did.
That was horrible.
Because
Blake was horrible in that conversation.
Blake did not handle that conversation well, because I think she was just basically being like, bro, I just need more effort. I need you to act like you want me, like do something special for me.
I mean, Tia's a grown ass woman. She ain't like one of these kids.
Yeah. And Blake was like, I'm trying, like tell me what to do. And I think that's what was, she was like, I shouldn't have to tell you.
And
like, I shouldn't have to tell you what I, you know, to do something special for me. You should just do it. It's like one of those moments, you know? But for me, it felt like that was a conversation you have 3 years into a relationship, not 3 days. Well, like, you shouldn't be like, put in more effort after 3 days. You know what I mean? Like, you're in the honeymoon phase.
Yeah. But you're that, like we've talked about in the past, it's like time is so valuable down there that if another guy is putting that effort in, but you are attracted and you might be feeling this other guy more and he's just kind of chilling. And like you said, Blake has only been there for what, maybe at that point, 2 days, maybe a day.
Because he just came in last episode. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
and James is, and I want to see James get a shot here, man, somehow.
I know. Fucking James, man. I like James. He had zero freaking screen time. But I tell you what, I saw Tia post something about like, listen, Blake said, I'm not going to do some of this fake cute shit. Like, I want you to know, like, I'm into you, but I'm not going to do this cute fake shit for cameras. I agree and kind of disagree. For one thing, it is all like for cameras. Like, it really is a lot for cameras. A lot of these little dates that people do, it is. And a lot of it's put on by producers. Like, the producers will come to you and be like, hey, you know, we have fucking, I don't know, like what Demi did with Kenny's birthday. Like, hey, we have a birthday cake. You should probably give it to Kenny. Mm-hmm. But that's what you do in Paradise. Like, you have to make an effort. You don't have much time with these people. You have to make an effort. You have to do the over-the-top thing. All a bachelor, bachelorette in Paradise is over-the-top. So you have to go over-the-top. And it does show that in real life, is Blake going to make an effort? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Off the beach. If you don't put any effort on the beach, like, are you going to put any effort off the beach?
Yeah. And just especially with someone like Tia, because, she's been around this world a little bit. Like, she ain't wasting no time.
Yeah, agree. She's been around the block a couple times in this franchise, and she knows. And I just, I don't know. She was frustrated, clearly very frustrated with that conversation. In my opinion, dude, I think she's going to leave. I don't think she's giving a rose to James. I don't think she's giving a rose to Blake. I think she's going to up and leave and be like,
I mean,
there are too many boys down here. I'm out. Like, I feel like that's what Tia's at right now. Like, I think she's just frustrated with the whole, everybody down there in the whole process. Like, I think she's just going to bail next episode. Personally, I don't think she's going to give it to James.
What were your this? I found this pretty funny with Tia tonight when she was like, that's like, Blake's totally my type. But I'm like thinking about like, well, James is a lot more like Colton, like clean cut, like super nice, genuine, puts forth that like simple little nothings effort.
Yeah, but true. But Tia said she likes bad boys. She does. She likes the tattoos. She likes the bad boys.
Well, Colton's a bad boy now because he has tattoos. He wears leather.
But I don't know what it is about. But she's, I think it was something else about Colton because she's into bad boys. She talked about that. She was.
Oh, I know.
She was into Blake. She was into Kenny, you know. So I don't know. We'll see. But I have a feeling she's just going to be like, I'm done with this nonsense and
she's
head home.
Just looking for someone to put that teapot on a boil.
She's talked about her vagina more than anybody I've heard on the show. Jeez, I'm serious. Her vagina's got more screen time. Her vagina's got more screen time than James, that's for sure.
I just love her one-on-one ITMs with her contemplation.
I thought that
shots.
Was hilarious. I love that. So, yeah, that's kind of how that ends. Then we go into the kind of Aaron, Chelsea, and Ivan debacle, right?
Yeah, what the?
This kind of came out of nowhere, and I think we're going to get some more context come next episode. But listen, fucking Aaron, man, he just finds himself in the middle of all this drama. Like, I blame him sort of, but I also don't. Like, he kind of is getting fucked. Like, all these guys
get
trying to see
here.
His rose. Like,
yeah.
He can't catch a break.
He can't, yeah, at all.
Like, I know. But I thought it was really cool what he did with Chelsea. He did the whole catwalk thing. I thought that was a good move. You know, you're like, you're trying to, like, I don't know, like, show that you care about what she does. You understand what she does, but make it fun. I thought it was a great move. What I thought was weird was the point when Ivan and Aaron were talking, and Ivan's like, man, I'm not going to try and steal a rose.
Yeah, I'm not trying to take anyone's roses.
Yeah, he's like, I'm just going to chill. 5 minutes later, the way it was edited, mm-hmm. 5 minutes later, this man goes and grabs Chelsea. And so, God, I don't know. I don't know how the editing was on this. There's clearly some very huge editing. But at first, Chelsea doesn't seem into Ivan at all. She calls him a homie.
Well, she pretty much friend zoned. I mean,
right
she even
away.
Said it. She was like
right
I kind of just friend zoned you, right?
Yeah. Like instantly, she's like, yeah, we're just homies or something. And then she was like, wait, you know, oops, I didn't mean to friend zone you so fast. They have an interest. It wasn't even like this weird, it was like not this mind-blowing conversation, but all of a sudden they're making out a bunch.
That's why it does kind of go back to like that when they show I went around the rules a little bit, the preview.
Yeah.
Obviously they weren't mic'd up and they weren't like ready for filming in whatever hotel or wherever they went that night.
Mm-hmm.
So everything was not mic'd up or everything was off
the
record. So clearly something happened.
They clearly had some conversations off camera and we'll get more context with that next week because this just seems strange. They had like two words and started making out. And then not only made out, but then walked down the beach hand in hand. Like
right
they were like a
Aaron.
Thing in front of Aaron. They kind
of
had a thing. And I don't know, man, I don't blame Aaron for being a little frustrated there. Like I think Aaron can go way overboard with a lot of things, but this is I kind of get. Because just because of the way we saw the editing, we saw.
And just Ivan flat out lying to Aaron and James in that conversation.
That's what I mean.
Like,
exactly.
That was straight up a lie.
Yeah. So we'll see what's going to happen there. And then the show kind of ended with Aaron and Ivan getting like in each other's faces. Like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Like,
I mean,
inches
Aaron,
from each other's faces.
Aaron
I have a feeling some producers are going to have to step in. But we'll see. That's kind of where it ended, was right there.
Yeah, pretty much just kept calling him a bitch boy or whatever.
Yeah,
bitch
boy,
a bitch
chopstick. He's the size of a chopstick. I'll break him in half.
But then,
another good one-liner.
Did you notice that in that preview, Riley, and when it was going in on Thomas, it looked like.
Was it Thomas?
Yeah.
Or was it Aaron? I couldn't
tell.
That
was Thomas.
It was Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
The fuck were they fighting about?
I was like, what? What is
hard on him, too.
Yeah,
what did
drama,
Thomas do now?
The drama isn't over, folks.
The man drama has been way more than the females this season, I feel like. Mm-hmm. All we've had really is Demi and Mari. That's like it, man. All the women get along pretty damn well.
Yeah.
Well, and then, of course, Piper, but that Brandon was in there too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Yeah, man, it's been quite a bit. Yeah, I don't know. It was an okay episode. I mean, not great. 6 out of 10. Like, I wasn't thinking it was anything crazy. But yeah, it looks like we have only 2 weeks left, man. Did I hear that right? Only 2 weeks left before proposals.
And I know you're going to love hearing this. Next week's a 3-hour show.
Oh, fuck. Is it really? Sorry, Eddie. Shit. Next week isn't the proposal is.
No, next week. And then it goes to the finale the following. Because Michelle
is, that 3 hours
is
too?
The week after.
Oh, dude. I'm not. Look, maybe we'll have to watch that East Coast. God.
We'll do that for you, Eddie.
So yeah, so it looks like there's still a lot of drama to happen, a lot of tears from like couples that I thought were strong as fuck, look like they're gonna break up. I don't know, man. We'll see. We shall see. Yeah, that's all we got, you guys. Appreciate you listening. We'll see you next week. Don't forget to subscribe, like, comment, all that fun stuff. But yeah, we'll see you for episode 10 next week.
Behind the Rose is recorded live at the world-famous Grizzly Rose or wherever we happen to be. Be sure to go check out our Instagram at Behind the Rose Podcast and follow us so you always know when we drop a new episode. And give us all 5 of those stars. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time, Behind the Rose.